Greetings, this is James Gillen with As You Wish Talk Radio, broadcasting live from our underground facility in an undisclosed place somewhere near the base of Mount Adams. I'm a little tongue-tied today because I've been breathing in all kinds of dust and getting this place ready to go, but it's all back online again and things are working out great. We're having some major challenges from the county here, which seem to have problems with having gatherings and things on your own property. But anyway, we're having to fix everything up and make everything really nice so they can come in and make sure that we aren't going to have problems, even though we've been here 24 years doing the same thing and with no complaints or nobody getting hurt. So anyway, you know how it is. They're here to help, and as long as you pay them enough money and pay for all these fees and things, that they will help you. They'll help take your money. But or they'll do their mafia program and shut you down. It's pretty crazy. We've got a lot of programs coming up. We have the Science Spirit World Transformation Conference July 2nd through 5th. And I want to go through the lineup. We've got William Henry, Shelley Yates, Lisa Renee, Brooks Agnew, Dolores Cannon, Mary Rodwell, Michal Ledwith, John Kelly, Nahi, myself, and Paula Harris are all going to be joining us, and it's just going to be an amazing event. And we have ships flying over on a regular basis here, especially during the conferences. And we're going to get that footage up where we have four massive ships that were actually filmed by Renato Longaro, who I don't actually see on here for some reason. But he's going to be joining us as well. But anyway, it's something they missed on the little blurb here. We've got the eSETI Camp for Kids starting June 12th and another one in July 24th. We've got a lot of events coming here, hopefully, that we are still open through the summer. But I'm sure we will be. It's just one of the many challenges of bucking a system. We've got the self-mastery classes also coming up, so check into those and the Kundalini classes as well. So I would definitely check into that and see what we've got going there. I've got there's quite a few things coming up here that we've got coming up. I'm getting a little blurbs on my screen here that I'm looking at that have actually nothing to do with the show, so we are going to ignore those. But anyway, we've got some amazing events coming up, and people are still coming out and sky watching. And we saw just the other night here, we had a little window of about an hour, and we saw seven or eight ships. And a few nights ago, we saw at least 20 ships, and I think we counted 21 ships in 20 minutes. So the skies are really busy right now, and it's getting pretty amazing, what seems to be unfolding. There's a lot of shifts coming in and this month, and they seem to be around the full moons, and they seem to be using these energies. And these are geared up to higher consciousness and energy. They use the natural cycles of the planet to kick on evolutionary jumps, you might say, or shifts in consciousness and energy. So be really aware around these full moon periods, because there's some major energies coming in, and people are having to detoxify, and they're downloading incredible amounts of energy, and your bodies are being vibrationally lifted, and it's getting pretty intense. So so anyway, I would say just start paying attention to the energies coming in, and when they are coming in, pay attention and learn to relax and get the stress out of your life. And I would suggest major detoxing, especially with all the chemtrail activity, which is just out of this world right now. I'm getting emails from everybody, the Portland area, Seattle area. They're all just getting hammered with chemtrails. And a lot of calls are going into senators and congressmen and things and saying, hey, give us a break, take a look at this stuff. And most of them are falling on deaf ears, but it looks like there are a few that are going to address this situation, and we'll see where it goes from there. I've sent some emails out on the latest information about chemtrails, and it's not looking very pretty. Some of the things that they're spraying and getting ready to spray are just horrendous. And whoever's behind this program have just lost it. I mean, they are pure evil. I don't care what anybody else is saying. It looks like we've got a caller, somebody on line two. It looks like Mr. 2012 is on line two. But are you with us?
Yes, I am, James. How you doing?
Good. How you doing?
Very well, very well. I just happened to catch the show on Facebook right now, so I thought I'd call in and ask you a question there.
Sure.
If maybe is it possible if you can, which I don't know if you've already touched on it, because I just tuned in on the YouTube videos that you would have recently posted.
Mm-hmm.
If you know, maybe you could, you know, maybe further elaborate on some of those points.
Oh, some of the events coming up?
Yeah.
Yeah, basically what they've been telling us is that everybody's saying, you know, they're waiting for 2012, you know, for the big event, and we're already in the changes. It's not something that's going to happen. We're in it right now, and, it is happening. A lot of these tsunamis and earthquakes and these major quakes are all part of this. And, we're seeing that on so many different levels going on in the the Earth is actually, there's a crustal shift getting ready to happen. I'm hoping this will go gracefully. But so far, what we asked the masters what's going on, you know, with the 2012. And they said if you saw the movie 2012 and gave that, a number of 10 on a scale of 1 to 10, and if you took number 1 as absolutely nothing happening, everybody's going to hold hands and ascend. They said you're probably going to have something around a 3, on a scale of 1 to 10. So we are definitely going to be going through some major changes. We do see a lot more earthquake and volcanic activity. Could be some tsunamis. We've also got some the solar storms coming up that are gearing up. And the magnetic fields are down right now in the heliosphere. Is way down right now because the sun hasn't been doing much of anything. So we're getting bombarded by cosmic rays, which are affecting the bioelectric, fields around the human body. It's making DNA changes in humans and all life on this planet. The whole planet is undergoing a major shift, and the Mayans have talked quite a bit about this shift in the past, but people didn't really understand what they were saying. So basically, it's not over yet. I think we're going to see a lot of changes coming up to 12, and a lot of it depends on the Earth, which she is going to shift. She's going to the next level, and basically, how we flow with that change and the collective consciousness on Earth, and how much divine intervention we get. And I'm praying for the divine intervention, and I'm really hoping we can get some major help during these changes. But, I'm also, preparing on every level, physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually.
Right. Yeah, and that just kind of seems how, myself and other people I know are kind of taking it, just, preparing at all levels. Trying to center ourselves, and just trying to be, at one with everything, and try to just, ease ourselves into the changes. Because, from the perspective, it's happening pretty quickly. And you're just saying right now, it just seems to be happening at a very high speed. And when I saw the YouTube videos of you talking about this, I was a little kind of taken back, because I know that, I respect your perspective of it.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's kind of like, wow, almost like, wow, James is, talking on such a major level, and it's happening right now. So it's kind of like, wow, I had to really check myself and say, okay, evaluate my life, I guess ground myself again. And, prepare on all levels, for any changes that might occur.
Yeah, it's a good idea. I always feel, you know, rivers can back up. Oceans are going to be moving around. You know, there's fault lines are going to be popping, you know, especially volcanoes as well. So it's a good idea to just pay attention to where you live, you know, your surroundings. And then, you know, at the same time, you don't want to be in fear, you know, but you do need to pay attention and, you know, take care of any unfinished business in your mental, emotional bodies, clear up any wounds and traumas there and try to make the best creator connection you can or spirit connection you can within and get your information from there and just go with that flow.
Right, right. Yeah, and yeah, exactly. Yeah, I completely agree. Another thing I think is funny, when I said my name, I went by Mr. 2012.
Yeah.
That's kind of like my stage, my I'm a metaphysical poet. So when I said that, and he's like, oh, and then you repeated it. I've been meaning to, like, change it, you know, like as I changed it on my blog to 2013.
Yeah.
I only used to use 2012 to get people's attention, but when all the fear porn started coming on with the movie and, you know,
yeah.
and they associated with doom and gloom, I was like, okay, well, maybe it's not such a good idea to use that name.
Well, I think we're going to need a little help from nature and the cosmos because there are certain groups here that are doing everything they can to, you know, pretty much throw us all into poverty and enslave us and you know, get us chipped and you know, they're trying to run that whole plan, you know, creating their wars and everything else. So, you know, we are going to need a little help from above and nature as well to assist us in breaking the chains of this insidious program that some of the leadership is involved in trying to, you know, take us down that downward spiral.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, no, I definitely concur with that.
Mm-hmm. So, all right. Well, thanks for calling in.
I appreciate it, James. Thank you.
All right. Take care.
All right. Bye.
Okay. Looks like we have Frank on line 3.
Me?
Hello,
can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Oh, great. Hi, James. Thanks for taking my call. I just want to say I can't wait to take the Kundalini workshop in Albany.
Great.
That was just like a surprise thing, and I want to jump on that. But I have a question. Are you in, you communicate with the Pleiadians, right?
Yes,
Okay. Do you do it, like, mentally, like telepathically, or do you go into, like, an out-of-body experience or a trance to do it?
It's just telepathic. Now, I had some, you know, one-on-one communications with them in the very beginning, and they made it very clear to me to stop focusing on my outer, you know, outer experiences that I needed to really work hard on going within and developing my own telepathic abilities. So the more I did that, the more they worked with me. But when I kept looking for their ships and everything else, they would hold them back for a while. And it was like I'd get a reward the more I went inward and started focusing on the my own spiritual evolution, the more they would appear to me. And so it's pretty much telepathic they're all kind of saying the same thing right now. It's amazing. The Pleiadians, the Ascended Masters, on every level, they're saying that, you know, pay attention, that we are going to go through a huge evolutionary jump.
Well, that's,
you know,
what I wanted to ask you because, you know, my whole world changed back in October when I felt energy in my hand.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to know what this was, and I've just been reading things by leaps and bounds, spend all day on the internet looking for things, and I really like the Kundalini class. However, there's something, did you ever hear of Frequencies of Brilliance with Christine Day?
I've heard of it, but is it a book?
Well, she's got a book, but the main thing is that they've got an initiation program that's got like 12 stages so far, and the first stage is like 13 or 14 days where three Pleiadians will work on you at a multidimensional level on your you know, various different levels of you to help raise your vibration, but it takes time for you to, I guess, acclimate with that.
Yeah.
Have you do you know of anything like that with Pleiadians working like that?
They, you know, there's so many different people working different programs, and a lot of times they work within your program. But you do have to raise your frequencies up to work with them. You have to rise to the occasion. And sometimes it's pretty intense, you know, the energies that are coming in working with them. So it's not easy, you know, to do that. Now, I don't know about her program or what it's all about, but you know, it is, if she is working with the Pleiadians, I'm sure it's brilliant. You know, that's all I can say.
Okay, and last one is, you know how when they say to work with your angels, just ask and you know they'll work with you, but I guess my frequency isn't able to communicate. Can you do the same thing with Pleiadians, just call out and ask for them to help you?
Definitely. One of the things that, you know, it's sometimes we have to go within and we have to clear out any blocks or patterns, like old wounds and traumas from past experiences and things of that nature, and sometimes heal up some past life things. And then your channel or your energy channels start opening up. Kundalini does that as well. It opens up your energy channels and allows you to experience this higher consciousness and energy and feel the presence of these beings. So sometimes we need a little jump start, a little kick, and sometimes we need to clear some boulders out of the way so the spirit can flow in, and it helps out. But it doesn't hurt to continuously make the call and focus on that love and joy and bliss and send it out with pure intent. And pretty soon you'll start, you know, feeling tingles and presences around you, and then it just gets stronger and stronger.
Oh, that's great. I have one more question. Could you say that energy, like we're all different vibrations, right? But some are more positive, some are more negative, right? And so if you think of love as a positive energy, fear is a negative energy. But we go through various feelings throughout the day, so I'm sure our energy changes with that in terms of our frequency.
Mm-hmm.
But being that we're each a separate one, like part of a whole, is it like you could just basically sum up the total of everybody's energy and there's more positive than negative, or, you know, like an average? Does it average out like that as a whole?
Well, it does. There is a kind of a collective frequency of Earth, you might say, of the collective consciousness. And then there's group energies where you have, where you set a field and you create a field and you have some really high energies, hopefully, in those groups. There's a lot of different types of you know, energies. And I know the higher beings are working with the collective consciousness or the grid here on the Earth to shift it and lift it. But, you know, on the whole, unfortunately, there's just so much nonsense on the TV. There's so many distractions, and, you know, all you hear is terror this, terror that, and, you know, code red, and you should be very afraid. And there's so many people tuning into that. It's actually making it harder and harder, you know, for the entire collective consciousness to rise up to the level it'd be necessary for, like, a mass contact, you might say.
Well, the reason why I asked this is I was thinking of an idea for a website where, you know, like, there's so many different healing modalities. There's Reiki, IET, there's Kundalini, there's all different things. But so, hello?
Yes, we're here.
Oh, sorry. Well, some are just, like, working on yourself, and some are, like, working as, like, an energy healing. And what I was thinking of was, like, making a website where, you know, no one can go and study everything, but you want to experience all these different energies, like an exchange website where I live in this site and I have Reiki to offer, and I'll do Reiki on you if you do your energy therapy on me, and we can experience both, and the more everybody within this collective heals each other more because they're getting it from different types of energies, that that would have an impact on the sum total of the vibration of energy of everybody.
I think it'd be a great idea. You know, it'd be like a spiritual barter system or something, you know?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, because I can't afford to take every program out there.
Oh, yeah.
And I can, but I'd rather go full distance on one program. And I like IET, and I want to do Kunlun, but I think Kunlun is more of like a self thing. It's not something that you can't really heal someone with that, right?
Oh, yeah. No, you can. There's people that have, at the ranch here, we have people that have spontaneous healings a lot. And people have come to the ranch just being here in the frequency and going out in the field and doing focus walks and out in we call it the field of dreams. And, you know, it's pretty well documented. They come with their x-rays and they go, look, when I got here, I had this tumor and a bleeding ulcer and all these other things, and it's gone. And they can't explain why. And
wow.
So it's not uncommon. We've had people in the hospital. We've done long-distance healing on people that were, you know, hooked up with tubes, you know, going in them and everything else. The next day they pulled all the tubes out and a couple of days later released them. So it does work, you know.
I mean, though, that it's something that you do Kunlun for yourself, or can I learn Kunlun and use that to heal other people?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you can use that energy to transmit energy to other people. And if you go far enough with it, you can initiate people and really, you know, blow their socks off, you might say, energetically, and open up some gates and some energy channels, and that's when people have these spontaneous healings, when their energy channels open up. So, you know, definitely you can use it.
If I were to learn IET and Kunlun and raise my frequency and learn to heal other people and mm-hmm. set up this exchange with other types of people at the other energies, right, so you do like a barter, like I'll do this energy work on you and you do that one on me.
Yeah.
These different energies are different things, so it's not like part of the same, just expressed differently, is it?
Well, yeah, basically, you know, we had some Reiki, bunch of Reiki people here, and there's four different types of Reiki, and there was a big fight in the local town here about, you know, who was the best and which Reiki was real and everything, and it was just, it was really getting out of hand, and they asked me to settle it. I don't know why they brought me into the middle of it. And I asked two questions. I said, what is, you know, Reiki? Can you explain to me what it is? And, you know, and everybody says, well, it's life force energy. It's spirit, you know, working through you. It's they're all saying love and, you know, different things about it and everything. And then I said, so what's the problem? You know, you're all channeling the same energy. Whether no matter what you name it, even if you have a lineage, that lineage got it from the source itself. So it all comes from the source. And then the second thing I asked them, you know, I just said, where's the love and all this competition, you know, and fighting? It shouldn't be there. And you
well,
know,
I'm
the universal.
I'm not looking at it from like a separate competition thing. Only reason why I bring that up is because I know this girl that had Lyme disease and she was dying. So mm-hmm. the doctor didn't have anything to offer, and so she started doing Reiki and IET. So mm-hmm. suddenly everything opened up and she can speak to her guides, but she can see energy. Now, she says that when she looks at the energy of Reiki, it's more like bold colors. And when she mm-hmm. looks at the energy of IET, it's primary color. It's pastel colors.
Mm-hmm.
So that says, she says that it's a higher frequency. So then I'm thinking maybe all these modalities have different frequencies, and someone that does energetic matrix or matrix energetics said that there's 21 healing frequencies, and they use that to tap into it.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. There's no reason why spirit's going to come through everyone, whoever wants to set that intent, and you know the right people will come to that. To that teacher or that person for that experience, and why not experiment, you know, to say, hey, that one really worked. Maybe this one, I didn't feel anything. Maybe it wasn't for you, but it would be great to have a smorgasbord of different people on there, you know, testing it out.
Yeah. All right. Well, I don't want to take up too much of your time, but
all right. Well, thanks for calling.
Okay. Bye.
Okay, I think we've got Oya. I hope she's still with us on
Hi, James.
Hi, how you doing?
Pretty good. How are you?
Doing great.
Good. It's nice to tune into your program. I have a question.
Sure.
Because I've been just kind of flying all over the place on the internet and investigating everything, you know, on Project Camelot, too, and all this stuff that's coming through, and I'm just kind of going, wow. And then you can watch news, and it's like about like maybe 1% of the truth. You know, it's like really weird. Anyway, my question is, how can you tell when you're viewing ships, how can you tell the difference between an off-Earth origin ship and those made on Earth? Like, because I just got thrown for a loop thinking, because I understand my experience has been going on ship a lot as a kid and kind of unconsciously doing it now. It's a lot to handle, I think. I'm not sure, but, you know, I'm just kind of opening more to it. And I just wanted to know, so how do we identify, because I really don't care to go on to an on-Earth ship. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. Well, there's some inner-Earth ships that are wonderful. If you could get on board one of those, it'd be awesome.
The what?
But some inner-Earth ships, you know, some of those guys are amazing.
Oh.
They're extremely advanced beings, but definitely you don't want to get on one of the gray military ships, you know, combination ET military ships. It's best to avoid those.
And
they are out there, and you can experience them, but I find out that when you tune into the higher beings, and you see their ships, there's a connection, and it's a pulse energy that you feel, and you get higher in a kite, you know, when they're around. And so you know who's on the ship. We had another ship come in once, flew over, and, you know, I just told people, I don't know what that is, but ignore it, you know. Maybe it'll go away because it just didn't feel right.
Uh-huh.
I felt no higher consciousness. You know, there was no love, no joy, no bliss, nothing coming from that ship.
I see.
So,
yeah, there's definitely a bliss field when it's just kind of like, you know, it's like in no separateness sort of when, well, anyway, that was one experience I had. So I've got a grounding for what you're talking about, actually. And I did awake kind of in a dream state after I was investigating all this stuff about, you know, that actually certain governments are participating in abductions to make it look like it's off-Earth ships, right? And I'm going, whoa, it kind of blew me a little bit out of the water. But there is something else I wanted to share with that I found interesting is I don't know that I need to know all the information that comes in to the unconscious, you know, the downloads. But there is an experience that happens, I think, probably to a lot of individuals after being on ship, and I because I experienced it sort of directly, of being put in water or say the ethereal body, whatever is on ship, which I think it varies, eh? Being put in water on the earth before you go back to your physical body. And I was just wondering if you've heard anything about that procedure, you know, like I think it's getting rid of the negative ion buildup or something. I'm not sure. Have you heard anything
about that? Actually. That's kind of a new one for me. I don't know why, but I could see how it'd be a cleansing and grounding or something. But again, you know, I haven't really heard too much about being put in water. I know sometimes they submerge you in things on the gray ships and things like that, but I try to stay out of that area, you know, as much as possible.
Do you mind if I ask you one more question?
Sure.
So can grays appear, like my experience was when I kind of woke up on ship and went, okay, I'm out of here, you guys. But everyone else was kind of like still in coma, and they all looked the same. And this was, you could consider it a dream, but you know the difference between a dream and a not dream when it's happening, right, even though your body's asleep. Anyway, I'm wondering if they have the ability to kind of like shapeshift. It felt like I was on a ship with a bunch of drones, people that beings that had no being. They just felt, it was really a weird experience, but they let me out. They were, you know, I insisted. I got up and said, I'm out of here. And that's when they put me in the water down on the planet. They seemed nice enough, but it was because I woke up in the dream. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, they definitely can do that. I mean, there are certain groups, especially with the grays and some of the reptilian groups, they can definitely shapeshift or have you see whatever they want you to see. And, you know, having people that look like they're in comas and things like that does sound like, you know, some kind of experience, you know, along that line. And there's also a, now it's, when you talk about the grays, it's, I hate to make a pun, but it's a real gray area because there are some grays that are actually helping and they're assisting in the process. And then there's some grays that are not so good. You know, they're here for their own agenda and creating problems. So it's kind of tricky when you get into that low level contact, you know, they're, you know, some good comes out of them, but sometimes it's not always good, and it's just a real gray area. So I try to stay in alignment with the masters and the higher beings and the beings that are more like we are and that have a lot of love and joy and bliss in their heart and are here to assist humanity.
Would you call those Buddhas?
I'm sorry, what was that?
Would you call those Buddhas?
Yeah, might call them Buddhas or everybody has a different name for them, Buddhas. There's all kinds of masters coming from fifth, sixth, seventh dimensions. And there's actually ETs coming from those dimensions as well. So there's levels even above Christ consciousness or Buddha consciousness or whatever you're going to call it. And they all seem to be pressing hard on the earth right now to help in this shift.
Mm-hmm. Great. And I appreciate the caller that was talking about just kind of honing your own situation, right? And also you're talking about just cleansing and when you talk about raising the vibration, so through meditation, through eating cleaner food like this way?
It's kind of like all the above. One, you want to clear up any old past life traumas and things. You want to clear up anything in this life, any wounds or traumas in this life. It's good to do some detoxing and, you know, clean your system out and eat, you know, close to the earth. I tell people eat as healthy as you can, you know, and stay away from all the processed foods, you know, especially, you know, get away from all the fluoride and all the other chemicals that are dumbing down people, which is hard to do, especially with the chemtrails right now, because they interface with fluoride and some of the other things and create some really severe problems. So
I've really been feeling the, not boron, what is it in there?
Barium.
Barium.
Yeah.
When I heard it hit the nervous system, I knew what was going on with me, you know. It's very annoying.
Oh, yeah.
They've been trailing a lot around here.
Well, you know, the upper respiratory problem has taken over as number one as far as the disease that's affecting people right now, and it's beat out everything else. And asthma's through the roof right now. It's exponentially just gone ballistic, and you know, it's just insane what these people are doing. And now the new stuff that they're going to be spraying right now, it goes right into the lungs and the heart. And
you know,
it's pretty nasty.
I'm pretty calm and kind, but I'll tell you, if there's one thing that makes me rage, it's when I'm walking my dog or something and I look up and there's chemtrails. I just almost lose it.
People should be outraged. I mean, they should be. I would say if you knew what they're spraying on people, I mean, it is so outrageous that it's almost like you just wonder how did sick people get in charge of this? You know, it's amazing.
In my mind, because I've investigated through the government, actually, they it's been so it's so massive, the cover up, that they're able to keep it like they must have told my MP not to say boo about it. Otherwise, there would be it's like bizarre. You know,
did. We've had senators go in there and try to get the information. They said, "Do you like your job? Do you like your family? Then you'll leave this alone."
So this is totally to do with, like, I think the chemtrails are directly connected with the whole ship cover-up, the whole Anunnaki, the whole heritage, the Catholic Church. Am I getting you in trouble? You know, everything. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. Well, it's definitely Illuminati-inspired, probably paid for, you know, so.
Yeah.
You know, it's definitely the chemicals in there really make you ill. They dumb you down. You know, they make you stupid. And
I am seeing that.
They collapse your immune system. And I don't see.
pharmaceuticals? Is that the payoff?
Yeah, you know, where's the purposeful good in that, and who are these people, and they're definitely not looking out for us. It's a no-brainer.
Right. It just seems like the only profit is to fill the pockets with the money from the pharmaceuticals that people purchase. That's the only payoff that I can imagine.
Oh, yeah.
And it must be big enough to keep it going.
Yeah, there's that, and there's other agendas being played out, too. But, you know, it looks like population reduction might be one of those.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that more and more, once you kind of let that in the first time, then it just accelerates. It's just a matter of, like, hey, why not? What else is going on?
Yeah.
You know, that's where I'm at with all this. So I hope to, actually, I won't be coming down to a study, but have a great festival.
All right.
Have something else going on, but wow, and I know Linda's coming down, and happy, wonderful times. I just think it's great you're doing all this stuff. I'm going to tune into you.
Oh, yeah, it's going to be amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, well, thanks for calling in.
Yeah, nice to talk with you.
All right, you
Bye.
Too. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Looks like we got Peter from Bend, Oregon on line two. Are you with us, Peter?
I am. And I just have a few questions tonight. I follow your material very closely, and I really enjoyed the reference to the website about the energy weapon. Apparently, you know, that's one theory of how the World Trade Centers were being brought down with a directed energy weapon.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was, I read that almost cover to cover, and I found that amazing. Was that actually the conclusion of the 1,100 or so engineers who met in San Francisco, that it must have been disintegrated into dust by some sort of weapon?
I haven't been following that. I know their conclusion is that there's no way possible that it could have ever come down by two planes hitting it. I mean, and then Building 7 didn't get hit at all. I mean, nothing hit that one, and there weren't any planes involved hitting that building, and it dropped in its own footprint. So, you know, all of the science there shows it was definitely taken down. It was pulled, and there was something, whatever you call it, it was a demolition. You know, there's no other, especially when you take in Building 7 account, you know, those buildings were taken down in their own footprint, because they would have fleened or fell from one side to the other side. And
there's even pictures of parts of one of the World Trade Center building, one or two, leaning. It sort of lifts up and leans over to the side, but it neatly, you know, it fell. Instead, it just fell right in its footprint, and the amount of debris from a 100-story building is less than 2 stories high, and it didn't disappear into a hole in the ground, like into the basement or something.
Yeah.
So where did it go? You know, that's just a huge
pulverized, you know, into powder.
Right.
But you just don't turn. I think anything's possible, whether it was an energy weapon or whether it was some other technology, I'm not sure. But, and it does, you know, how do these big chunks of concrete just turn into powder? It doesn't make any sense at all.
And
just to take a building down like that, I mean, no building has ever fallen like that due to fire or being hit by a plane, and then have two go down, and then a third one go down that wasn't even hit by a plane. I don't know when people are going to start asking what's wrong with this picture.
Right. I wonder whether they ever will. I really, that's a big question for me, is what is it going to take to get people to go back and ask the right questions about 9/11 and not accept that a government panel that doesn't report anything that wasn't unanimous.
Mm-hmm.
Six out of ten
on that panel said that you know, the cover-up, there was definitely a cover-up, and that the panel was a sham. And, you know, they had a lot of things that were withheld from them that they asked for, and they said the whole thing was orchestrated. It was really not an investigation. So when you have 6 out of 10 of the appointed people on those panels just saying, you know, this was not right, you know, that this investigation was far from you might say kosher. You know,
right, What do you think it'll take to actually get the Congress or, I don't know, what kind of action by the people of the United States will be required, do you think, to
here's what I think. They said by the true statistics that we have a 21% unemployment. They're saying 9% or whatever, but when you look at the real statistics and they put everybody on the census, you know, and things like that, and the government hired all these people for a short-term thing, and they use those in the statistics, but basically the real statistics are showing around 21% unemployment. And then you take into account everybody losing their houses in that big bank scam, which definitely was a scam, and then to bail out everybody, it has to hit people at home. It has to, you know, as long as their TVs or their big screens are up and their SUVs have got gas and they've got a paycheck coming in and, you know, the football games are playing, they're not going to be bothered by it. But there's a lot of people right now that lost their SUVs, they lost their homes and their big screen TVs and you know, they're asking questions about everything. And when you look at the evidence on what happened there, it's just, it's overwhelmingly, you know, I think that people are starting to get educated. They're figuring it out. And when you have so many educated people, like all these architects and everybody else involved, it's and the internet, it's going to spread like wildfire. And I don't know what the numbers are now. I think the numbers that they gave were pretty conservative about, you know, thinking it was a cover up or that we weren't told the truth. I think it's even higher than that. You know, I bet it's well over 50% of the people. I've seen numbers where they had 51, 56% of the people just are not buying the story, you know, that
right.
That we're told. And there's so many holes in that story. It just, you know, the stand down, the, you know, there was no wreckage in the beginning on the Pentagon, and all of a sudden all this wreckage was there. You know, the before
right.
and after pictures, everything, you know, this perfect lawn that would take a hit from a 747 or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
And then, you know, then they had to come out and mess it up a bit and tear it apart, you know. So, you know, and then the perfect hole. I mean, you don't punch a perfect hole through layer after layer of these massive concrete bunkers, you know, like that, definitely. But, you know, I think people are figuring it out. They are waking up, and it's just a matter of time, you know, before they figure it out and just say, you know, this is just totally out of control. And, you know, and I don't know if it's true or not, but I've been hearing stories, and I hope it's true, but I'm not the source. I'm not sure. But if there are 50 governors who have signed on to operate according to the Constitution and throw out all this other nonsense going on, it's going to get real interesting from here on out. And my sources
yeah, that
say
is,
I don't
that is a very interesting thing because just looking at how, you know, this new legislation that's in Judicial Committee that was proposed by, I guess, Lieberman, and it's a bill that basically proposes to take away the right for a trial. They can just go in and arrest military. People can come in and arrest you in your home without a warrant, without a trial, without a hearing, and detain you indefinitely based on the president's order. And McCain and Lieberman forwarded this bill, and I'm going, this guy was almost president, and now he's proposing, you know, something that's akin to Hitler's, you know, way of doing business.
It definitely is not far off from Hitler's program. I've never seen anything like it, and I think it's going to be things like that for people to wake up. You know, the healthcare bill, too, has ordinances in there where people are going to be chipped. And I was reading these things in there, and I go, oh, my God, this is like forced. The healthcare is forced, monitored. You're going to be chipped. You're going to be unbelievable. It's like cataloged, and, you know, it's like Brave New World, here we are. So I really don't.
I haven't heard of that.
My feeling is that there are certain events coming and changes, both earth changes and other changes, and the government's not going to be able to deal with it. just like Katrina, you know, they were a total failure. They're going to be a failure on these other programs, and they're not going to have time to implement. A lot of these programs don't even get implemented till after, you know, 2012, 13, or 15, or whatever. And so,
yeah.
You know, they can, there's no saying man plans and God laughs, you know. They are going to try to implement all these plans, but there's a bigger picture going on, and it's much bigger than them or any of us, and there's no way they can stop what's going on. And it's like the source itself has said, you know, come on, kids, we're going to the next level. Your whole solar system is going to the next level. You can't hide out on Mars or the moon or wherever you want to go. This is all about frequency.
Exactly. Yeah.
And these guys that are holding the consciousness of tyranny are just going to be hit like a brick with these energies. They already are. Look at them. They're ending up in wheelchairs and heart attacks. And by the time they get through trying to implement all their programs, they're going to be probably 6 feet under.
Yeah, I hear you. Hey, I've got one more topic I'd like to just two simple questions.
Sure.
I'm sure people consider chemtrails as a non-proven thing, that they look at it and they say, no, that's just a contrail. And,
yeah.
And so one of the questions is, there must be a documented, like to have a contrail, there must be science that says this is what a contrail is, this is how long it lasts. And so when you see these chemtrails lasting hours and hours, we see them all the time over our house.
Mm-hmm.
And we're just wondering, okay, the basic nature of a contrail versus a chemtrail, what do you know of any science that shows that and really establishes what a contrail does versus what a chemtrail does?
Yeah, there is. Clifford Carnicom and William Thomas both have sites that cover this very well. There's some new movies coming out. There's one, Toxic Sky, and there's this other one. It's, I can't think of it, and you know, if you send me an email, I just sent it out on the list. There's a whole website on this that gives you all the information on the what they found in them, the diseases. It shows people actually getting Morgellons, all these other things, and they're totally related to the chemtrails. But they're testing the materials coming out, and you've got ethylene dibromide, you've got aluminum oxide, you've got barium. Barium salt, barium oxide, I guess, and I'm trying to think of all the different things. And if you take this chemical soup that they're dropping on you, it's deadly. I mean, it's
and apparently everybody, like normal scientific people, do observe these chemicals in rainwater, in the water, you know, in what's falling out of the sky. Like these materials are being collected by conventional types and acknowledged as being there. Is that true?
Oh, definitely. They're finding them 8 and 9 times over the safe amounts in the snowpacks. They're finding them in the water. You know, they're putting petri dishes out and gathering samples of the rainwater. And they're finding, everything in there from you can see these molds that are engineered. And they're bonded to certain types of bacteria or viruses, and they're finding all these
totally
influenza,
fungus, virus mixtures, and
so they have an earmark on them that show they've came out of a petri dish. So basically, having human red blood cells raining down on you, I think is a pretty clear indicator that something's wrong with this picture. And they found these strands, these silicon strands, I guess, and these strands had all of these biologicals bonded to these strands. And when people touched them, they got deathly ill. And there's been a lot of stories about that. I think, that one major show covered that. But definitely, it's out there. We send out
this. There was that one town in Oakville, Washington, where they documented this gel that fell out of the sky on six different occasions over a month.
Yeah, and we see the streets here just turn to suds, like after it rains, all of a sudden the streets look like somebody threw soap suds on them. And we're going, what the heck is that? What are they spraying now? But, we look on, I see those little strands everywhere on my cars. You know, I see them. I see this oily film on my cars, on the windows, you know, kind of a milky substance that shouldn't be there. It's all been analyzed, and I know, you know, it's pretty undeniable. Definitely, there is definitely aluminum and barium in those chemtrails. That's undeniable. Ethylene dichromide.
So here's the question. It takes a lot of money to put an airplane up in the air, 35,000 feet, and spray something out of it and land it and fill it and go up and do it again and do it again and again and again, so that these chemtrails are appearing all over the United States and all over the world.
Mm-hmm.
I don't get it. Like, are these civilian aircraft where the planes are leaving a kind of exhaust residue, or are these planes like tanker planes from the military that are spraying these things, and where's the money come to pay the fuel bills for this? What is this?
You know, we're paying for it. You know, we've paid to be sprayed like insignificant bugs, and that's what's really sad. And if you look at, you know, the accountability for the military industry, they've got, you know, how many billions and trillions of dollars that they can't account for. They don't know where it went. And you know, and it goes into these projects, you know, that are black projects, you might say, and things like that. So basically, it's coming out of our pocket. We're paying for these things, and it's most of it's military, because the planes that they're observing are these huge tankers, and they're military, and they're flying. You know, you'll see them fly and then do a U-turn and turn around and go back the other way. Commercial planes don't do that. You know, you don't see.
Right. No, that's bizarre. But I'm just thinking the idea of how many planes it would take to be flying to cover this much territory with these crisscrossing stripes and these grid patterns, and like, it's really elaborate. But when you think of the square miles that are being covered by these chemtrails, you know, like it would be a massive program on by anybody's accounting. I mean, to do that all over the United States.
Yeah. Well, they've had quite a few years to plan this out, and it's all, you know, on the books. I think it was Teller was the guy that invented the program a long time ago, the same guy that brought us nuclear bombs, you know, some pretty psycho scientists that were very short-sighted when they thought about these ideas. And, you know, a lot of it is to cool the planet down so they could keep burning fossil fuels and things of that nature. So we always see these short-sighted programs, and they have these millions of dollars, and then they sell it, and everybody gets these contracts, and then it's just all about greed, and it's just insane what's going on. I looked into it pretty deeply, and I'm seeing that I have no doubt whatsoever that the program's going on. We get sprayed heavy here. I've got emails coming in from all over the world. Basically, they're going, what is going on? Everybody's getting sick within 3 days after the heavy spraying. So, you know, it is happening.
What about air traffic controllers? Are they directing? Because these airplanes are sharing the same airspace with civilian airliners.
Oh, they are.
And so then
they are.
They
are, and they're directing people away from it all the time. And, you know, there's head FAA official said, look, there's a joint U.S.-Canadian program going on, and we can't talk about it, but there is definitely, you know, this program going on, and we're told to steer the other planes away from it, and, you know, you know, move them out of the area when they're spraying, you know, steer them around it. So, you know, I've done a lot of flying lately, and when I get up there, I look and I go, oh my God, and I see these planes just spraying the hell out of the place, you know, as I'm flying above them looking down. And, you know, they're not up high enough to create these condensation trails. And so there's a lot of science.
What altitude do you think the chemtrails are typically sprayed from?
You know, it looks like it's hard to say. I would say, you know, you're up about 30,000 feet in an airliner. I would say 10, somewhere around 10 or less. You know, I'd say right around 10,000 feet is where they do most of their heavy spraying. But it depends on what they're doing. Sometimes they spray up higher if they're just trying to create, it stays aloft longer if they can take it up higher, I guess. And depends on what they're spraying, but the real toxic stuff seems to be lower.
Is not very high, and an airplane spraying from 10,000 feet would look very close to you. If you saw,
I would say 10 up, between 10 and 15 or somewhere around there. But I mean, I see them flying. I see regular airliners taking off from Portland Airport here, and they go up through the chemtrail as they're climbing, and they'll climb up about twice as high as these chemtrails and then take off, and they have no contrail. They have a very short, either no contrail whatsoever or a very short one that dissipates in 45 seconds behind the plane.
Well,
you know,
if you get a chance and you could post a video of a conventional airliner climbing through a chemtrail and leaving no contrail, you know, I think that would be really telling. If you saw a grid line
and a
plane climbing through it, if you can get a video of that, or somebody can kind of film.
Well, they have those. They have those videos on, I think, Clifford Carnicom's site, and he has a movie out, and he shows that. He shows, here's a regular contrail, here's a chemtrail, you know, and they're so obvious when you see them, because the chemtrails go from horizon to horizon all the way across the sky. And these contrails just dissipate, you know, right behind the plane. They just disappear. They're gone.
Right. We watched one just yesterday, and it just disappeared within 15 seconds of the plane going by. And
you can almost stick your hand out.
That's what I thought of as a
contrail. You can stick your thumb to your little finger out and raise it up above your head, and that's about the width of a contrail. And you can put it out, and you can see the plane, and you know, when you look it up and you put the plane on your little finger and on your thumb, you know, you put the end of the contrail, it's usually gone about that distance. It doesn't go horizon to horizon.
Right. No, it's bizarre, that's for sure. But I think if it's true that people are, that there are military pilots that are spraying these chemtrails all over the United States and all over the world, then somebody's got to come clean and just say, yeah, I participated in this program and I feel terrible
about
it.
Yeah, I think they will. Well, unfortunately, Peter, we've run out of time, but we've talked to colonels that have admitted it, and they think it's a brave thing their boys are up there doing. And I think it's, to me, it's if it is a brave thing, why don't they tell us what they're doing?
Absolutely.
You know, that's the bottom line.
Thank you for your time.
All right. Thanks for calling. We've got to wrap it up. This is James Gunn with As You Wish Talk Radio, signing off. Have a great evening, and watch the skies. Good night.